رمضان
رمضان
رمضان رمضان نايتس on البيان راديو.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. السلام عليكم dear brothers and sisters, and welcome back to Ramadan Nights on this 12th night of Ramadan. I'm your host Abu Abdurrahman, and I'm very pleased to be joined once again by my dear beloved brother Sheikh Muhammad Dua. Assalamu alaikum Sheikh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah Sheikh.
It's good to see you again.
Barakallah fiqh Sheikh. Even though we see each other almost on a daily basis.
Pretty much, yeah. So alhamdulillah. It's always good to see your brothers in Islam.
Alhamdulillah.
May Allah unite us in the next life as He united us in this life. In Al-Firdaus. The highest part and the best part of Jannah. Sheikh, we are up to the fourth part of the Salaf in Ramadan. Let's get straight into it.
بارك الله فيك شيخ بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهدى أما بعد. We continue tonight بإذن الله تعالى with taking a few more examples of the Salaf al-Salih in regards to acts of worship and their devotion to Allah عز وجل, not only in Ramadan but outside of Ramadan also. And the first point we want to touch up on tonight شيخ is the night prayer, how the Salaf al-Salih were, and the Sahaba in particular, regarding the night prayer. As we know, Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Qur'an, كَانُوا قَلِيلًا مِنَ اللَّيْلِ مَا يَهْجَعُونَ وَبِالْأَسْحَارِ هُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ, that they used to sleep only a little portion of the night, and in the hours before dawn, they would ask for forgiveness. This is a quality of the believers, that they, Allah Azza wa Jal mentions one of their qualities, that they only sleep a small portion of the night and they are up in the early hours seeking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Regarding this verse, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, he says, it was very rare for a night to pass them. And again, my brothers and sisters, whenever a companion says them, he is referring to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, as there was no one else before them. They were the first Muslims with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, he says it was very rare for a night to pass them and that they did not pray. So this was the practice of the companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum. They would pray the night prayer constantly, Shaykh.
Allahu Akbar. This is the weapon of the believer. To pray the nights, to make dua in the last part of the night.
Naam.
This is what really differentiates that golden generation. This was part of their daily habit.
Naam.
Compared to us today, where we struggle and, you know, we look at those who do it as, you know, the special type. While the Sahaba, this was their norm.
Naam, without a doubt, subhanAllah. Because they understood the value of the night prayer, and especially in the final third, Sheikh, we're all aware of the hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah azza wa jal descends to the lowest heaven at the final third of every night, and he asks who is seeking my forgiveness so I may forgive them, and who is asking me so that I may grant them. For subhanAllah, these early hours before the Fajr, they are the best time for the Muslim, and the final third in particular for the Muslim, to be up and praying his qiyam.
What makes it so hard for us to get up in the last fajr? Is it maybe sins?
SubhanAllah, without a doubt, Sheikh, yani, there's no doubt that the sins do play a huge effect in stopping the ibadah. Yani, one of the punishment of sins is that it prevents or it makes worship difficult on the abd. But if yani, we truly understood the virtue and the reward of praying this night prayer, we will not restrict it only to times like Ramadan and whatever else. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he gave Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma a beautiful advice when he said to Abdullah ibn Umar, do not be like so-and-so who used to pray the night prayer and then stopped. For subhanAllah, how many of us pray the night prayer in Ramadan then we stop? That's completely against the advice that the Prophet ﷺ gave to Ibn Umar. He told him, don't be like the person who prayed the night prayer and then he stopped it. And that's an indication of remaining steadfast even after the month of Ramadan. If you pick up the pace in Ramadan, you don't stop it after Ramadan. It should only be a reason to continue performing these acts of worship after the blessed month.
We ask Allah to allow us to keep praying this prayer, which the Prophet ﷺ in another hadith called the best prayer after The obligatory.
Naam.
The night prayer.
Subhanallah. Allahu Akbar. Withara
da'wah. What do we have next, Sheikh?
The next one, Sheikh, is the Salaf and Dhikr, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have a narration of Al-Walid ibn Muslim, rahimahullah, who said, I saw Imam al-Awza'i, and we know Imam al-Awza'i was from the great a'imma of the Salaf. This man, Al-Walid ibn Muslim, said, I saw Imam al-Awza'i remain in his place of prayer, remembering Allah Azza wa Jal until the sun rose. Then he would get up and say, this was the way of the Salaf. And subhanAllah, he was from the Salaf. He's talking about the earlier generations from the Sahaba. But it was very common for them, Sheikh, very common. And I recall Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he used to also do this, and he used to actually call it his breakfast. The dhikr from after Fajr until the sun rises. He would call it his nourishment and his sustenance. For it was common for them, Sheikh, after they pray the Fajr, to remain in their place, remembering Allah Azza wa Jal until the sun had risen.
Allahu Akbar. Nah. This is their nourishment. This is what gives them the energy.
Nah, subhanallah.
Today we need a coffee or two before 7 a.m. to get to work. And then for the other brothers, hadakum Allah, keep away from a V with the man'oosh. With the man'oosh. This is like not even 7 o'clock yet. So what about, you know, the dhikr? We're not saying the brothers don't do dhikr, a'udhu billah, but this is their nourishment. And this is what we should make our nourishment, my dear brothers and sisters. Let's make this part of our daily habit.
Nah, subhanallah.
What do we have next, Sheikh?
Next one, Sheikh, is regarding when the Salaf would enter Mecca. This was an amazing one also. Ibrahim al-Nakha'i, rahimahullah, he said, they used to love whenever they entered Mecca, not to exit Mecca until they completed the Qur'an.
Allahu Akbar.
Any one of them from the Salaf, in general, if they visited Mecca, whether it was for Hajj or Umrah, they never used to like to leave Mecca unless they've at least recited the Qur'an completely once while they were in Mecca. But subhanallah, it just shows their vision and their work for the next life. And especially if someone is in the blessed lands, to take advantage of that. For many of our brothers and sisters, Allah inshallah will be doing Hajj soon or Umrah and whatever else. We should take the Salaf as this example. Yani when we are there, not to waste time, especially in the blessed land. Some people go Hajj and Umrah and they don't even know what to do. They sit there yani, twiddling their thumbs, as they say, and they get stuck, not knowing what to do. Reciting the book of Allah Azza wa Jal in Mecca is from the greatest actions that the Salaf used to love to do. It's good for a person to have that niyyah, following the way of the Salaf, that if I'm visiting Mecca, I'm going to make sure I complete the Qur'an while I'm there.
Well, you mentioned the Sheikh, a shara or a salam to the 20 million people in Mecca at the moment. Oh, how much of that is?
MashaAllah.
How much million, Sekman? 3 million? Sheikh Jalal is there.
MashaAllah.
Shout out to Sheikh Jalal, who'll be on Al-Bayan Radio when he comes back from Umrah.
InshaAllah.
Sheikh Farhan was there. I think he's still there. Nah. So a shout out to all the brothers and sisters performing Umrah and all the Muslims that are there in Mecca. And Medina, may Allah accept their good deeds. It is crowded. I was watching the live Saudi channel from Mecca. Allahumma barak, it's chock-a-block.
Yeah, from experience, Sheikh, when I was there, Ramadan actually gets busier than Hajj, in my opinion.
Especially the last 10.
And that's because with Hajj, you've got people scattered in different locations at different times, whereas in Ramadan, everyone is just focused in the Haram. And subhanAllah, it gets very full, and we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to increase the Muslims in honor.
Ameen. What do we have next, Sheikh?
The next point, Sheikh, that we have is the way of the Salaf in the janaza, in the funeral. Imam al-A'mash, rahimahullah, he said, we would go to a aza to pay condolence, and we would not know who to pay our condolence to, because everyone will be remembering death.
Allahu Akbar.
Subhanallah. In this day and age, if you go to a aza, you can tell the family of the deceased because they look to be the most sad and the most يعني, reflecting over life and death and whatever else. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ And then you find others at the aza, whether they're laughing, smoking, speaking about the dunya. Not only at the aza, that even happens at the graveyards, وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ At the burial, people talking about business and whatever else. We ask Allah to protect us.
Ameen.
Whereas the Salaf, if they went to visit the family of the deceased, they would not know who the family of the deceased were, because everyone at the Aza is pondering and reflecting over death. You see the state of mourning on everyone.
Allahu Akbar.
Subhanallah, that's another great example of the pious predecessors regarding the actions of the next life, and in particular, remembering death.
And Sheikh, that's really one of the main points of visiting the grave. You know, not only to, obviously we bury the dead there, make dua for those who are there, and most, you know, the most important thing, as the Prophet ﷺ told us, that after it was prevented, now have allowed it. So remember, remember death. Remember that you're going to be there one day. So it should be a reflection for all of us going there. Not a time to, you know, laugh and do this or do that. May Allah soften our hearts and allow us to remember the destroyer of desires, as the Prophet ﷺ called it. What do we have next, Sheikh?
Next point, Sheikh, is the way of the Salaf regarding brotherhood. And the examples of this are many, but we only want to mention one, inshallah. And that is a statement by Al-Hasan Al-Basri, rahimahullah, where he said, "By Allah, I met people who would look after the family of their brother after his death for 40 years spending on them."
Allahu Akbar.
If I look at this type of brotherhood, Sheikh, a brotherhood where when my brother passes away, I feel the responsibility to look after his family. And not only to look after his family, to look after them for 40 years, spending on his widow wife, his orphan children, and whatever else. This is true brotherhood, subhanallah, where they don't forget the families of each other. And if one of them passed away, yani he would know that he has brothers that he has left behind, that inshallah, after Allah Azza wa Jal, will take care and look after his family.
So this shows us once again the Salaf actualizing, implementing, living the ayat, such as the ayah, "Innama al-mu'minuna ikhwa."
Subhanallah.
That's a motto for them. They live by it. Not any words.
Without a doubt. Yani we hear a lot of the claim of brotherhood and mahabba lillah and so forth, but when it comes to the actual implementing of these statements, it's only a few that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows to truly live by, that where they prove to Allah azza wa jal the meaning of brotherhood between them and their fellow Muslim brother.
May Allah strengthen our brotherhood.
Ameen.
Sheikh, what do we have next?
We have one more point, Sheikh.
Beautiful.
Tonight, and that is the way of the Salaf in following the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we take one example, and it's a nice example because we know that the Sahaba radiallahu anhum were the most, closest to following the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But one of the companions witnessed for someone else and his way of following the Sunnah, and that is Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, who witnessed for the great Khalifa Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, who served the Prophet sallam for 10 years, he said regarding the great Khalifa Umar ibn Abdul Aziz that his prayer was the closest to the prayer of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Subhanallah, for those that do not know Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, we recommend that they learn about his life and his biography. One of the greatest khulafa of Islam and the greatest khalifas. And subhanallah, for the Sahaba themselves to testify that his salah is the closest to the salah of the Prophet ﷺ shows how great this man was.
Barakallahu fiqh, Sheikh. Anything else you'd like to add on?
That's all for tonight, Sheikh. Barakallah.
Short and sweet and beneficial.
Inshallah, we ask Allah for it to be beneficial to us and our brothers and sisters.
Ameen. Barakallahu fiqh, Sheikh. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.